when we come together and God is allowed to lead the singing.
Amen.
We really give us the, put us into the mood to even feast upon His Word. Praise God, we're happy to be here again. I need to introduce to you Brother Cook, Brother Tommy from Tulsa, and Brother Richardson. They are coming all the way from Tulsa. Brother Tommy has a little work in Muskogee, and he lives in Tulsa, and so is Brother Richardson. I think probably you should do something about that, brother. Just stand up and come up as the Lord would lead you. And
Lord, I'll stand here. I appreciate getting to be here tonight, and I do love the Lord, and I appreciate being with God's people. And I really appreciate Brother Duciel, the minister God's put in him. We're looking forward for him being in Muskogee. And I thank God for what he's saying in this hour that we're living in. You know, God is raising up a people, an army, that's going to stand, and I want to be part of that army. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Well, I'm just glad to be out here. This is the first time I've been out in this part of Oklahoma, that I've lived in Oklahoma practically all my life.
Yes.
But I do praise the Lord that I'm a part of His family.
Yes.
Amen. And I bless the Lord that He brought me under Brother Duciel's ministry here a few years ago.
Amen.
And like Tommy, I know that He is beginning, the Lord is beginning to draw His people together.
Amen.
And I know also that this message that Brother Duciel is teaching, and this end time message, is not going out to the multitudes, because the multitudes won't hear it. The multitudes won't obey it. When it comes time to close in on number one, then they feel led to go somewhere else. But I do praise the Lord, and I pray that it won't be the last time that we'll be up in the
same. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
I love you all.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's go into the Bible right away. As I say, the Bible is the foundation of our message.
Yes.
God gives me a message, and if it's not in the Bible, then I would question whether it's God or not.
Right.
Amen. So be careful, because in this hour in which we are, God says that the very elect would be in danger of being deceived, if they could be deceived.
Amen. Right.
Praise be to God. So we have to be so careful. Our own judgment, and our own natural judgment that we use to judge our business and to judge our natural lives, cannot judge when it comes to things of God.
Right.
It's only the Spirit of God can give us the proper judgment as to know what is good from what is not good. And if some of us would stop listening with our ears and really listen with our hearts, we would hear more. Praise God. And so I want you to turn your Bibles with me to John's Gospel, chapter 7. Now let me give a little preliminary before I go into this scripture. All the apostles, including Jesus, from Matthew right back to Revelation, all these are only quotations of Old Testament scriptures. There is no new thing in the New Testament that is not a quotation of the Old Testament scriptures. Consequently, when the fathers were putting the Bible together, and some wanted to put in Esdras, Judith, Baruch, Ecclesiasticus. See? And books of Moses and all different kinds of books, the brothers said no. And the grounds upon which they said no was that the Holy Ghost told them this very thing that I am telling you now, that everything in the Old Testament has been quoted in the New. And the New Testament is only a quotation and an explanation of the Old. So that Jesus Christ is the star of the Old Testament, but he is the revelation of the New.
Yes.
Amen. So whenever you read an Old Testament and you cannot see Jesus, you need to ask God to show you, or put it aside until God can show you Jesus in the Old Testament. The New Testament explains some of it and give us the keys to open the great, dark, deep secrets of the Old Testament. Okay, now we go to John chapter 7, and we're going to read the context from verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said." Amen. He's quoting scripture. Out of his belly, or if you could put a note there, innermost being or soul, shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive, see, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Isn't that plain? So very plain. Praise God. So we see then that Jesus came in order that we would have an outflow. Hallelujah. You know, one day I asked God, "What is preaching?" And he directed me to the scripture which says, "Preaching is the power of God unto salvation." And I didn't understand it. And so, after I had been saved, accept Jesus as my Savior, I walked with Jesus for 7 months. And Jesus led me into a place where he entered into me, and I begin to speak in tongues. I don't know what it is. Of course, as I told you the story, it was rather humorous that I thought I was getting crazy, and I opened my mouth and couldn't speak English, and I was saying, and I just couldn't understand what's happening to me. I said, "My God, show me what's happening to me." And a scroll floated up before me, and I saw the scripture about tongues. That's how this poor unfortunate brother learned about tongues. Now you're better off. You come to church and somebody tell you. Hallelujah. I had to learn it the hard way. Amen. Well, after this happened, God tell me to go out and preach. Preach? I don't know any scriptures. I don't never been into a gospel meeting. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? He said, "I'll tell you what to say." So I stood up there the first night, and that's before I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, of course. I need to say that. Because after I was baptized, the thing came into me. But it was the same person that was talking out there that sometimes I hear him talking inside of me. Come now, don't question me on that point. Now, he came up behind me and he whispered in my left ear. He said, "Give them your testimony." So I started giving them my testimony. And I'm coming to the end now. I said, you know, well, I'm finished. He whispered again, "Turn to chapter so and so of such and such a book." I turned, said, "Let us." I read the chapter. As I finished reading the couple of verses, he whispered something else in my ear. I said it, and he kept on talking, and I kept on listening and just talking what I heard. Now, You wouldn't expect a preaching like that to save anybody, would you? A person just listening to each sentence and saying it, and saying whatever God say, and just saying it. Okay, and I kept saying it, and about a half an hour, I felt that, well, the message is at an end now. He stopped talking, and I stopped. See, and I stood before the people, and a sister, a lady, she was the wife of the senior agricultural officer. That is this big agricultural station. The man who was in charge, he's an Englishman. And his wife, she was the head woman on the whole campus there. It's like a little city agricultural station. And she screamed. Now, I don't know if I can make you understand it. Here is an English woman who everybody look up to, and she's in Jamaica, in a place where, you know, it's society. I'll try to say that in a nice way. But she is the woman of society. And of course, all proper behavior and everything is expected from that quarter. And all the other ladies will follow. Because she would have her tea parties and things like that, you know, and it's only certain people who are invited. Of course, though, that certain people didn't include the accountant like me. You understand what I mean? Now, she screamed, dropped off the chair with a loud noise, onto her knees on the board floor. And she ran on her knees. Ran on her knees. I must have it. I must have it. Salvation she wants, you know. Hallelujah. And that just broke down all the stiffness in the congregation. And other people begin to cry out and rush towards the piano was here. We were in the Sister Renfer's hall, living room. And everybody rushed up here, and I don't know anything about altar call, never seen one in my life. You understand what I'm talking about? And I wouldn't know what to do to them, but the Holy Ghost was doing it. And they started crying and praying, and that night a church was born.
Praise God.
Over 20 people were saved, and a church was born, and they were crying out for the word of God. And I said, well, praise God. You know, that is preaching. The power of God. Not words now. So you can go study as many words as you want. The greatest part of preaching is done on your knees. Then when Mavis and I learned the trade properly, we begin to get down together and pray before we go to service. Say, Lord Jesus, we feel like we should have 6 souls tonight. We need 6 souls. And God would bring the 6 souls. And the 6 souls would be saved that night. And every night we're going to service, we would make a demand of the Lord, and He would give us our heart's desire. It was mostly souls we were catching in those days. Amen. And praise be to God, we found that there was a power. Amen. In the congregation doing the thing. And it was not the preacher, and it was not the words that were being preached, but it was the power of God that was getting a hold of people's hearts and doing something to them. Hallelujah. So Jesus said to me, go and preach. And I said, Lord, I can't preach. I would prefer not to go. I will give 90% of my salary to anybody who you tell me to give it to. But Lord, don't send me. He said, well, I won't tell you right here what he told me, but he showed me something. And I said, okay, Jesus, I'll go. But I have two conditions upon which I will go. Number one condition, Lord, I must not have to study this Bible to get a message. I said, you must give me every message. I must not have to write a message to study a message. You must give me the word for your people, and I will go. And you must continually telling me what to say. Now, poor me, I thought that he was going to be whispering in my ears all my life. And that was a comfortable thing, brother, to step in a congregation and don't have to study anything, and Jesus would come and whisper in your ears. That was very comfortable. Amen. Okay. Then the second thing is, I said to him, Lord, am I going to fail? Am I going to fail like some of the other people? I said, when you sent those men out, you knew they were going to fail, and yet you sent them. Lord, are you sending me knowing that I am going to fail like one of those brothers out there? And he said, you can make it. That was good enough for me. Praise the Lord. So here we are tonight talking about living waters flowing out of the church. What's the use of it, and when is it going to happen? If you look at the 37th verse, you see that it said, in the last day, that great day of the feast. Now, what feast? Praise God. So, Brother Tommy been studying his Bible. You see, they had three main feasts, and I'm going to do this in order to tell you what time we are in, what's going to happen now, and when it's going to happen. So you had better understand that your Bible is full of symbolism. Three compartments, three feasts. The first feast is what?
Passover.
Isn't it a shame that you call Passover Easter?
Yeah.
Isn't that a shame? Easter, or the goddess Ishtar, is the heathen feast, which is the counterpart of the Passover. Amen. The feast of Passover, the next feast was what? T.E. Pentecost. Oh, this is funny here. All right. Good. Now, three feasts. And God said, in these three feasts, every male must appear before God at these three feasts. Remember, I'm not preaching the three feasts, so I don't want to go into the details. But I'm just giving you an idea of what's happening. And the next feast is Tabernacles. Now, we see therefore that the Feast of Tabernacle is in the Holy of Holies. The Feast of Pentecost is in the holy place. And the Feast of the Passover is in the outer court. You follow me? Now, therefore, the last feast And the greatest feast is the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles, the seventh trumpet will sound. It will be the end of God's plan to bring man into fullness. Amen. Understand? Yes, right. Now, so this then is the end of the age, the end of time. The age will last 2,000 years. See? And tonight we are at 1981 plus. Everybody understand what the plus means? That it's not 1981 tonight, because our calendar was wrong. It was made wrong by Constantine. Not Constantine, Gregory, Pope Gregory, who made this calendar which we have, and we call it the Gregorian calendar. And that all authorities, everybody, governments, secular men, men of God, everybody know for sure that the calendar is wrong, but nobody wants to touch it because nobody knows how wrong it is. Isn't that funny? You can't correct it. You know it's wrong. If you correct it, you may just make it wrong again. So nobody wants to have the responsibility to correct it. And so we find it might well be 12 years more than what it's there. It might be 20 years. You see, it might be 2001. Or it might be 1995 or something like that. And that's where we are. But we, the Christians, will know the time. For God says, when you shall see the fig tree and the other trees of the wood begin to put on their branches, no, you know that summer is near at hand. When you see certain signs, you know certain things are going to happen. And therefore, you don't even need to look at the almanac to tell you what month it is. If you go out there and see everything blooming and blossoming. See what I'm saying? So this is what God is saying to us. So it is in the last day of the feast that Jesus cried, if any man thirst, let him come and drink. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Now, the church system, the churches around, the theologians, the Bible schools, they are teaching that we receive the full gospel. Do you know that Paul, Peter, James, and John did not give us the fullness of the gospel? But they told us that we would get it as we progressed in the things which we have received. Now you need the scripture for that. You need some scriptures to turn to the 16th chapter of John. And we look at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever I shall hear, he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. 14th verse. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. What is that saying? It's saying that the Holy Ghost will continuously be bringing forth revelation to the church, that the Holy Ghost will be receiving from Jesus Christ and giving to the church even as the church matures. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Praise God. Verse 26 of chapter 15. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. Praise God. Now, we can go on then if we understand this point. We go back to the verse 38. That he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Now, as I've been teaching you this morning, and I want you never to forget these little points in your Bible. Every scripture has a key. Find the key in your scripture. Now, let me see if somebody from the congregation can tell me what is the key in that 38th verse. What is the key? What would you look for to get the revelation of God? What does he mean by the verse 38? Huh? Somebody has it. You got it? You remember, you want to find more about that verse. You want to discover the greater meaning in that verse. Verse 38 of chapter 7 of John. Let me read it again for you. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What's the key in that verse to open up the revelation to you? You're talking about living waters. Huh? So look up in your Bible, where can you find living waters in your Bible? Come. Yes. Several places. Let's go to Ezekiel. Huh? Ezekiel 47. And we are going to see something about the living waters here. That's very exciting because it tells you exactly what the living waters are going to do. Afterwards he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, mean the outer gate, by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. I'm going to take this off again and write down what we are seeing. If somebody would just read that for me, I would just write it on the board. He measured 1,000 cubits. Doesn't matter, 1,000 measurement. And waters came out of the temple. Amen. How deep? 1 cubit. What next?
mountain and drop me through the water. The water is your knees.
Knees. Knee deep. What next?
Afterward, he measured a river, and drop me through the water to the lines.
Lines. I'm still walking. Huh? What next?
Afterward, he measured a thousand, and it was a river that I could not pass over.
Wow.
Water just went.
Over my head. It's more than I could walk in. What are we looking at? We are looking at the different moves of God in the Holy Ghost. The moves of the Holy Ghost. The scripture said that it was the living waters that came out of the temple. Now the temple, okay, I put up here temple. Our bodies. So then you can well see what we are thinking about. We're not then going to be thinking of the temple, the natural temple, but we're thinking of the spiritual temple. And if from Jesus said in verse 39, out of your bellies shall come forth living waters. Amen. So we see that Ezekiel saw these waters coming out of the temple. Now, first of all, he said there was a move. There was a move that brought the waters, and men were only ankle deep in salvation, in the Spirit of God, in the movement of God. But God ordained to make another movement. And that other movement brought men knee-deep in the Spirit of God. But there was another move. And that other move brought men line-deep in the Spirit of God. And the fourth move will engulf us, will cover us. No man will stand. But where is the move going to come from? Where is the waters coming from? Out of the church. Out of, I should say, it was only one section of the church. Because remember, he was telling you it was at the altar and it was flowing out eastward. Now, I can't draw the tabernacle again for you, but let me just discuss these moves of God with you. At Pentecost, the Holy Ghost fell, and 1,000, remember I told you that God said he gave me 1,000 pounds of food for the household, for the wedding feast. You remember that? For years and years and years, I never understood what the 1,000 meant. And I sought God and I sought God and I sought God until probably over 20 years before God would tell me what that meant. Watch it now. Anywhere you see that in your Bible, anywhere you see one, you hear about one, in symbolically it's talking about God. And your God is one God. There's none like unto him. He is one. So one is the symbol number of God. But zero is the symbol number of Christ. right? Because he is the Zorah, our seed. And that is Genesis 3:15. That is God called Jesus the seed.
Yes.
The Zorah, the zero. Okay. But because zero is repeated three times, three equals fullness. It's all well and good for you to receive a word, but when you receive the fullness of that word, then you are being matured.
Yes.
In the word. Are you with me?
Amen.
So wherever you see in your scripture 000, it's talking about the fullness of Christ.
Yes.
For instance, you see a number like 12,000. Anybody can remember what that number refers to in scripture?
Divine government.
No, I was thinking of what it referred to. Where you find 12,000 in the Bible? 12,000 of each tribe. Okay? 12,000 of each tribe. It is speaking of the completion. 12 is the number of completion. Completion. And in the fullness of Christ. For we are complete in Him, Christ. We are not complete. We cannot be complete any other way. We are just piece of a man. And we can only be completed in Jesus Christ. See what we're talking about? Now, because of that, we see then that the thousand means the fullness of a word of God, a word of Christ. You see what I'm saying? So there are four movements of God which must bring us to the fullness of the Christ, or the word of Christ, so that we will become like Jesus, flowing living waters out of ourselves. Now, let me show you what the waters did. Let's read on. We have those verse 6. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now, when I had returned, behold, at the banks of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out towards the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. I don't think you hear it. It says that the waters that flow out of the church, let's take it in the spirit that will flow out from you will flow into the desert places of the world and will turn them into fruitful fields. Amen. That it will flow past through the desert, and it will flow out into the sea, and it will heal the sea water and make it fresh. What are we talking about? We're talking about spiritual things, not natural things. The desert are the dry places, spiritually dry places of the earth. Some churches out there are deserts. Amen. God says the waters from you will flow into them and make them fruitful. We're talking about the sea. We mean the nations. The nations will be converted by the power of God flowing from this people. It's too much, is it? It's too much to believe? That we are going to see the whole world converted. You see, some brothers are preaching that we're going to see the world killed, burnt up to ashes, that all the people will be burnt up and destroyed. My Bible tells me that God is going to save
Amen.
Everything on earth that can be saved
Amen.
After the tribulation. For then men will get serious. Right now people are not serious.
Amen.
You can't get people to be serious enough to preach to them.
That's right.
But I guarantee, brother, if you should live with people for 5, 6, 7, 8 years in a neighborhood and everybody know you, like you are a postman, I think more people know you than anybody else in this place. All right, everybody know him, and they heard that he died. I said, oh, you know, he was such a nice fellow. He smiled at us every morning, and he's dead. And they come and they look at you, and they saw you dead. And after 3.5 days, you got up and came back to their houses to shake their hands. People would run and scream, and people would come from all over to come and see you and to feel you. And say, I'm still flesh and bone, blood. I'm alive. You see what I'm saying? That miracle would shock your whole neighborhood.
Amen.
And every person who can know be saved would accept Jesus on account of that miracle.
Yes.
You see, Jesus hid himself away. He didn't show himself to the sinner. But God says this is the miracle, that the living waters are going to flow out from the church. No longer we hold it in and only have services among ourselves.
Amen.
The thing will go abroad on the streets. People will be converted. The power of God will be let loose. And he says the glory of God shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the rest of it just tells you how they will be standing on the rivers fishing. She will be catching fish. Not natural fish we're talking about. We're talking about those spiritual fish which we would like to see saved.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So the tribulation is not coming to kill and destroy. Pardon me. Destroy men. It's coming to save. Men will be brought to their senses. For right now, men believe that they are mighty and strong. But praise God. So then, we can understand John chapter 7 and verse 38 and 39 a little more. That out of your bellies, your innermost being, is to flow rivers of living water. Now, what's stopping that living water from flowing now? Why is it that we don't start to practice the living waters flowing? Do you know that you can preach without words? You ever preached without words? Just go into a place and people feel good. Spirit is calming them down. Yes, sir, you have an influence upon people that you don't know anything about.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, stop crying yourself down and saying, poor me. You're a mighty instrument of God.
Yes.
Doing a work that is far beyond your understanding.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have you ever noticed that where you work, that sometimes when you're not there and you go back, you hear that so and so happened? It never happened while you were there. Oh yes. We were going along the highway one day, and we came up behind a bus, a little bus, and suddenly the tire blew out on the bus, and the thing just turned over into the Midian, and the Midian was slope, and it rushed straight across the Midian, and the oncoming traffic was, I mean, it would be a wipeout. And we cried out to Jesus to stop it, and miraculously bus just turned back and came back into the traffic lane where we were, and finally it stopped on the in the Midian like this. And I mean, the people just came out trembling like leaves. We told them that it's Jesus. We called Jesus, and he stopped the destruction from that. These things won't happen where you are. The power of God in you will reach out and stop destruction and distress and the works of Satan anywhere. Why do you think that devils haven't yet come down in a flying saucer and convinced Washington that they are from another planet? Why you think they haven't done it? They only show themselves to some people here and there, and zap somebody, lift him up out of his canoe and carry him into flying saucer and show him all these different things and blow his mind, and the man's not the same ever again, and let him loose again, and all that sort of thing they do in the dark places. Why don't they come out and do it? Let us see them. You know why? That little boy with Jesus in him come along and see a thing like that and rebuke it, and his whole deal would be broken up. And that's why they haven't done it yet. They would have to bind us first, which they can't do.
Amen.
And so the Christians and the people of God and the people who believe God and the people who know their God, God said, they shall do great exploits in these days. We are doing, but we don't know. We don't know what we're doing, but I'm telling you, we are preserving this earth right here. Why don't Russia, they claim that Russia has so much great edge over the United States and the rest of the world. Why don't Russia move our armies and take over? Because the power of God is stopping them. They dare not do it until God said, okay, go ahead. You see, knowing the devil for what he is, if he could have taken over the world, he would have taken it over long ago. We couldn't keep service here tonight. Amen. Because the devil would stop us. But he cannot do it, and he shall never do it. He's going to do everything possible. But we are conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. And the living waters, brethren, you better believe it, that it is flowing out of you. And when you go to pray, just ask God to give you the power that those waters will flow out and will take the world according to his will. You see, the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Hallelujah.
How can we pray that prayer and still believe that God's going to destroy the earth and take away all the saints and leave the earth to the devil?
That's
the truth. We can't pray the Lord's Prayer and at the same time believe that. Because God says that the earth is the Lord's, help me, and the fullness of the earth. What else? The world and they that dwell therein. Yes, sir. The earth is my Lord's. It belongs to him, and it belongs to me, and it belongs to us. And this is part of the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom in the invisible, where Peter, Paul, James, John, Jesus, you know, Enoch with his body, and Elijah with his body, and all the brothers are there. We don't see them because they're in another realm or they're on another frequency from where we are. But they are right around us. Okay. Then there is another kingdom of God. And that kingdom of God is this world. Because God said in Daniel that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of God and His Christ. And He said that kingdom shall be given to the saints, to the people of the saints of the Most High God.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that plain? But there's another kingdom. There's a kingdom within.
Amen.
For the kingdom of God is within you.
Amen.
You know, it's amazing sometimes to hear people quarrel over scriptures. One is quarreling that the kingdom of God is in you, and the other one is saying the kingdom of God is not in you. And both of them are right, but they are both quarreling because they don't know. Hallelujah. If the kingdom of God is within me, then it must have been somewhere before it got into me. Because it was not always there. It's as simple as ABC. Hallelujah. So you can see then our part that we are playing in the scheme of things and in the end of this world. That we are bringing the Holy Ghost within us. And then the Holy Ghost will be flowing out of us. Let me just put that on the board. And I'm going to soon come down. Look at this. Scripture said, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost coming from the Father, coming from Christ, and He comes into my spirit. And He goes from my spirit into my soul. He goes from my soul into my body. You ever felt the Holy Ghost in your body? Huh? I don't know. But some people, one brother asked me once, I said, why you jerk sometimes like that? Amen. The Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. The Holy Ghost sometimes makes my body jerk.
Amen. That's right.
I don't know what He does to the other people's body. But I have a feeling that the Spirit of God works different way in different people. I see some people when they get in the Spirit, they start weeping. Amen. Some people start laughing. Amen. Some people dance a little. And I don't think it would do you any harm if you did.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But the Holy Ghost is coming in us and from us. Where is He going? Huh? From us, He's going into the world. This whole world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God, coming through my spirit, open the gates of righteousness. Let the King come in. And I open up my soul to Jesus Christ. And He comes in. And He flows out of me into my body. Into the world, and the world will see Jesus.
Right.
That's the first vision of Jesus that the world will ever have.
Amen.
And that vision is through you.
Amen.
I don't know where this young man is now. He's not a young man anymore because we were all young men when this happened. But he testified that he wasn't sure that there were any Christians in the world before he met me. And why? Because He knew that I used to be involved in boxing. And he knew that I had the power to you know, late on physically with boxing. And he always wanted to tempt me to even play boxing with him, and I wouldn't, because all I was out to do is to get his soul saved. But one day he got mad with me and jumped on me and started to throw all his best punches at me. And after he had slammed me a few times well, and I prayed to God, the only thing I was afraid of, that I might break down and hit him. And so he went on until he was satisfied that I was probably tough enough or whatever, satisfied him, but he went to his seat. We were in the office together. And a joy came over me. A joy. I began to laugh like a fool. Imagine a man just finished beating you up and you started laughing, uncontrollable laughing. The people in the office thought I was the greatest idiot. Because, you know, he was a kind of bully, and so many of them wanted me to beat this bully. But I had no desire to beat the bully. You know what was the result? The fellow walked over to my desk. He stretched out his hand. He shook my hand. He said, "Sess, I've never known a Christian before." Somewhere in that little encounter, he realized that I could have torn him to pieces and I didn't touch him. Because when he struck the last blow with his left hand, a left hook, it hit me here. And I did like this, and he rolled off and fell. He didn't know that he had torn the skin off of my chest from here to here. Because I didn't say anything. But he fell after hitting me. And he knew that if I were hitting him, he wouldn't have a chance. But I just praise God. Because the greatest preaching that I could ever preach to him was not to hurt him, not to touch him, and to show him the love of God. And I wasn't sure of myself either. I was begging God, "Help me, Lord, not to touch him." See, so praise God that if you want living waters to flow into the world, then you must open up yourself and get living waters flowing into you.
Amen.
And listen, brethren, I have never seen a vessel that was full that didn't run over.
Yes, right.
Amen. You know, somebody's worrying. I have to go testify. I have to witness to some souls. I have to do that. You don't have to do anything but get filled.
Amen.
You just get that Christ in you. You just, in your quietness with God, you just get the Christ filling you up. And he's going to flow out of you anytime he's ready. And the souls will be blessed and saved and delivered. And you won't have to lift a finger.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Out of your bellies, your innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. Let me close with this thought, brethren, that it is at the feast of Pentecost that happens. The feast of Pentecost is at the entering in to the veil. Now it's hard for you to understand that, but let me try if I can explain what it means by entering in the veil. You know what it means by entering into Christ? He that is entered into Christ has ceased from his own works. So if you want Jesus to have his way in your life, if you desire God to do his work and you are not interested in showing forth your work or doing your thing,
yes,
then you have entered into
Amen.
Christ.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Well, if you know what entering into Christ means, then one day you will know what entering into the Father means. Amen. The works that I do are not my work, but the Father that sent me. You see, this is what I'm talking about. He said, and if you obey my words, and I and the Father will come and make our abode within you. Yeah. You understand what we're talking about? Yeah. That God the Father does not only want to stay outside and direct your life, but he also wants to enter into you through Christ. And that if you obey Christ, that the revelation of the Father will come forth within you. Amen. And you will become a mirror for God to the world. And people will look in the mirror and see God.
Yes.
So there is a time at midnight when the sons of God will enter into that place with God. Amen. And the living waters will begin to flow in this last flow.
Amen.
Hear me? In this last flow, where no man will be the leader, but God the Father himself will be leading his sheep, leading his people. And the sons of God will begin to take over the world in what we call the battle of Armageddon. I am closing, you know, but you know, if you're running too fast and you're going to stop, it takes a little time. Amen? So it's taking me a little time to pull up my brakes. The battle of Armageddon. Then you hear them talk about the battle of Armageddon is coming and so on. Let me just explain what that is. One day the Philistines came up to fight David, Israel, and David went to God and said, Lord, the Philistines are here to fight me. Will I have the victory? Should I go out against them? God said, yes, go out against them. I will give you the victory. David went out. But David, because he knows God, he's used to God. He knew that he had the word of God, but he wanted the Rhema.
Yes.
He had the Logos.
Yes.
You read that little book we sent out some months ago with the Rhema and the Logos. So if you read that, you will know the difference between the Rhema and the Logos. Living word, the Logos of God. But every time you are going to do something for God, you have got to get the anointing for that moment. We call that the Rhema. Okay. Well, he wanted this Rhema. So he said, God, must I go now? Must I hit them right now? God said, no. Said, you don't get the Rhema yet. He said, you wait. Anytime you see the rustling in the mulberry bush, then it's time for you to go. David waited there. And when he saw the rustling in the mulberry bush, he also saw something that the Bible said never happened before. God discovered himself to the Philistines and just completely destroyed them. I have read my Bible time and time and time again. I've read the Hebrew and tried to find out what God did to the Philistines. And all I can imagine is that some bright light or radiation just tore them to pieces. Amen. Well, listen, brethren. In the battle of Armageddon, this is what's going to happen.
Amen.
God says he's going to do it as he did it
in the valley of Megiddo, he's going to do it again at the end of the world. At the end of the world, Satan will make his move a little late. Imagine, we're telling him now that he's going to make a late move, and he can't even crack that. You know why? He doesn't believe us. Praise God. But he's going to make a late move. You see, when Satan moved to destroy every human being from the face of the earth, every Christian, everybody who named the name of Christ, already Christ shall have come forth in his secret coming, in some of the brethren, and the living waters will already begin to flow. He can't stop it. He can't handle it. So it will be supernatural against supernatural. See, he won't be just coming against the natural Christian to tear us to pieces. He will have a wall. You remember in Revelation, there you hear about, and the wall shall be 144 cubits. Did you hear that? The wall of the city will be 144 cubits. Satan is going to come up against this wall. And this is what will happen to him. They'll be completely destroyed. And as we discussed this morning, the fire that will burn in the earth, that in every part of the earth, a supernatural fire will burn. Amen. To burn sin and evil and wickedness out of the world. Right. And after the battle of Armageddon, the sons of God will reign and rule with Christ in the earth. Brethren, it would be kind of fairy tale-ish. You know, when you read a fairy tale or something that's going to happen 1,000 years to come, it doesn't really have reality. But I am telling you this tonight because it is an absolute near reality. In my opinion, which we're not supposed to preach, hallelujah, we don't, a couple of years' time, we are going to see things start happening. I believe in a couple of years, we're going to see things start happening. Let me explain to you what the things must happen. First of all, we're going to have a war. There's no way we're going to escape from a war. The war will bring man to his knees. The mighty United States of America and the mighty Russia will find that they're not so mighty, but they will tremble like ordinary men for what their own hands can do to this world. And they will call it off. Of course, it's God. It's the prayers of the saints that's going to stop them. But they won't know. So they will come together and the beast will set up his kingdom. But when the beast set up his kingdom, lo and behold, God has also set up his kingdom. For the fullness and the power of the kingdom of God, that which we desire with all our hearts tonight, that which we pray for, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that shall come to those who are ready. And then that ministry will begin to flood the earth with the opposition of the satanic kingdom. And he won't be able to do what he wants to do because there will be a controlling force. The sons of God. Great suffering. The people who are not obedient to God, woe be unto them. For it's going to be suffering beyond what we can conceive. Those who die will be fortunate. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, for they shall cease from their labors. Can you imagine men who with a computer can lock on a computer onto your brain and can put certain energy into your brain that destroys your present personality or your memory and put in what they want to put into you to turn you into a living robot? Sometime about a year or two ago, some bill was put up in Parliament in England to ask Parliament permission to experiment on prisoners, to take out something out of their brains to make them docile. They have got that far that they can do something to your brain to make you a docile, sweet, obedient person. And the British government turned it down because they say it would be taking away the constitutional rights of the prisoners. They were saying criminals who have a criminal mind, they can take certain things out of their brain and cause them, operate on them and cause them to be not have a criminal mind anymore. So you can understand what we're talking about. With Wurmbrand, the Russians took him and wired his brain and tried to force him to learn communism through the wires. And I think what put their program backwards is that Wurmbrand came out, he didn't know where he was, he didn't know what he was saying because his brain was kind of shook up, but he was saying Jesus, 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 Jesus. He wouldn't say Lenin. Amen. And that baffled them for sure, you know. So praise be to God, this is where we are. When we get after that happens, the sons of God will rise up, will be slain, will resurrect in 3.5 days, will rise up, will take over the government, take over the world, and begin to reign in righteousness. As I say, there's going to be a big fight because some people won't believe. They will see you resurrect, they will see you, know you are immortal, but they say, if we can't kill you, let us kill your children. Let's kill the Jews. Let's do something. Amen. And nobody will, they won't be allowed to. For a new government will be put in the world overnight. Hear me, brethren, I'm closing. It's only going to take 3.5 days to set up a new government in the world. 3.5 days, the sons of God, with two witnesses, will be resurrected as immortal human beings, the first fruit company of God's great harvest, and take over the world. Amen. Now, it pleases me, hallelujah, to know that it's not going to be another long, drawn-out thing. After we go through this bitterness, which we are heading for. Well, let me encourage you a little more so that you don't think it's tomorrow. We're going to have 3.5 years of the beast punishing the church and the sons of God defending the Christians. You see the situation? So then from tonight, we will have a war sometime. And as after the war, or in the midst of it, God will intervene, stop it, to save humanity. The sons of God will come forth at midnight, but not immortal yet. You'll be flesh and blood like Jesus Christ in his 3.5 years ministry. And while the beast is reigning for 3.5 years, you will be ministering for 3.5 years. Like Jesus was ministering during the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire had the world, but Jesus had the kingdom. You follow me? While that happened, at the end of that 3.5 years, God will bring forth the two witness company, or the man-child company, or the first fruits company. And he will say to them, now allow the beast to kill you. And the beast will kill them. And their dead bodies will be put upon show. For they were tormenting him. He couldn't beat them. He tried to kill them several times. And it was impossible to kill these people. So when God talks to you about covering you up, when you hear about Boaz taking off his coat and covering Ruth at midnight, When you hear about Jesus having them in the wedding feast at midnight, this is what we're talking about. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
There is a place in God where there is absolute safety.
Hallelujah.
See, that is the reason I'm not quarreling with people who are running into Arkansas for shelter. Maybe they need it. I'm not quarreling with people who are building places of refuge. Maybe they need it, and maybe God is telling them to build it. But for some of us, our refuge is in God.
Hallelujah.
We could be right here, the atom bomb could drop in Alva, and we sit down in this church and we didn't even hear the noise.
Glory.
Oh yes. You know it happened in Hiroshima. The Americans sent a plane over there to bomb them with one atom bomb. And that thing fell, and right in the center of the city. Some Christians were having a prayer meeting, early morning prayer meeting, and they went down into the basement. And they heard the shaking and things. And when they came up, the city was gone. And not one of them were hurt. Yes. I read the testimony of another brother who was walking, and he went right between two big rocks, and he said the whole world passed over him. The force and the power of the thing threw him down between the rocks, and he wasn't even scratched. So we must believe it to receive it. Believe me.
Amen.
Just stop worrying about everything and start believing God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, Lord bless you. We will be going in the morning. It looks so short. You sure we don't have another day here? Probably you have a few questions that you'd like to ask. You know, we could discuss something before I step down here. Yes, brother?
If the United States and Russia would get into it, do you think there'd be much destruction before God would intervene and stop it?
I'm not allowed to think, right? But I can only tell you what God showed me. When God sent me to this country in 1969, He said, I want you to go to the United States just before the destruction. And I saw the United States destroyed. I know many, many men have had this vision. And one of the most vivid visions was by A.A. Allen. He went up on the Empire State Building, and he looked through the, if you've been there, you know there is a telescope there that you look through and you see the whole New York. And he said when he looked through it, he saw a horrible thing rising up over Canada, over in the north. And he was frightened, so he took the thing away, and everything was normal. And he put it back again, and there it was, this horrible thing rising up over Canada. And he said the thing stretched over, and it blew on New York. And he said people begin to just fall dead in the streets. And he said the Statue of Liberty tumbled off its pedestal and just begin to wreck the whole country, all the cities right down to Florida, and it fell in the Gulf of Mexico. And he described a horrible, I mean a horrible scene. And I've read other people, I've read the vision by George Washington, which I have in my Bible here. And George Washington saw the same thing, and he spoke of the destruction coming from across the sea to the United States, and the terrible battle that the people would have, and they would finally overcome, but it was so horrible, so many people died in that battle. And we have heard time and time again. See, so we need to understand that this thing will come to pass, but that God's going to protect his own, number one.
Sure.
And that number two, we should have no fear.
Amen.
For this is the end of time. This is the end of time. You see, this preaching that I'm preaching to you here is not popular, especially in Oklahoma. Because from this place, from your country here in Oklahoma, is coming the strong preaching from all sides of how America is the righteous nation that's going to punish Russia. You know, I want to tell you, brethren, in Russia, there are as many Christians as us here. And there are as much ungodly men as we have here. Of course, maybe more since they have a bigger population. But you don't forget, brethren, if any one of us is called upon to man an aeroplane or a gun or whatever, you remember that Christians are going to die in whatever happens. You know, it's a very and this brother, a brother we have fellowshipping with, he's a Russian, but he was one of the scientists that work with NASA, and God called him out of building airplanes and missiles and things like that and send him back to Russia to minister. And he's going back and forth to Russia now. He speaks the language fluently, so he goes in as a Russian and so on, and he gets a little chance to speak to people when they're not watching him. And he tells us of the beauty of the Russian Christian.
Glory.
And our hearts just weep with joy, you know. They don't have the word that we have. They don't have the Bible. They don't have it. And yet the things that God would say to them and how they live by it. He said, they're chickens. The government, you have 12 chickens. And the government say you must give them 12 eggs per day. And it is impossible. So you are always short. You see. And you are always in their bad books because you are always short. But they know you can't give them 12 eggs. Okay. Your family must feed. So they when they were in this dilemma, they cried to God. And they asked God to help them. And they said they got up next morning and the chicken laid 2 eggs. You ever heard of a righteous fowl? Hallelujah. Well, this is the kind of God they're serving. That's the way God is doing. The chickens laid 2 eggs, and they had enough eggs that they could give the communists their quota, they could feed their families, and they could send eggs over to the next farm for the other families.
Right.
And
right.
The other farm would send over surplus wheat or whatever they have for them.
Right.
Because you see, the government is taking their quota from you, and you have to feed your family.
Yeah.
And this is what our brothers are living under in those countries, Russia, Romania. You see what's happening in Poland there. It is a sign of the time. It's a sign of the time. Poland realizes that under the Reagan government, that America is not going to sit by and allow Russia to overrun and tear that country up. And those people are pressing for their freedom. Amen. See, so it's a sign of the time, and God, the Bible is being revealed in your newspapers. So this is where we are, and I'm glad. But if you don't have spiritual fortitude, you're going to find it very difficult in the years to come. God told me there's going to be a great change in the things that are around us. There's going to be a great change. So if God is blessing you with money, with goods, don't waste it. Because we're going to need it. Amen. Praise God. I hope that answered the question. Praise the Lord. I hate to go, but we got to do it.